Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. It's Friday and I'm super happy because we got a great, great program for you. Second hour, it's going to be all kids calls. If you're of the younger set and you have permission to dial the phone, you can call us with any question you have about God, about the sacraments, about the church, any at all. And Tim Staples is going to be providing the answers. So you have one of the best people in the world providing answers. And we love it when we do a kids show. This hour, man, this is hard to beat. We have two superstars of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network with us, Jerry and Debbie. You know them from Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, mornings around the world. Well, I guess it can't be mornings around the world because that actually doesn't make sense. All right. But I get nervous when they're here. Jerry Usher and Debbie Giorgiani from Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hello, Jerry and Debbie.
Hey, Si.
Hey, Si.
Why do you get nervous?
When you guys are here?
Yeah.
I'm talking with radio superstars.
You are, but don't let it affect you.
Yeah.
You say that. Say it easier said than done. Come on.
You're the superstar there, Guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for that empty flattery. I really appreciate it. All right. So you guys, I have to first of all say congratulations because you just celebrated, and I was very impressed to hear this, your 60th anniversary on the air together on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
I know.
So is that correct? 60 years? I know it's in the ballpark. How long
that
have you two
been? That is hilarious. 5 years.
Oh, five years. Okay. All right. Just felt like 60. Sorry. Yeah. You're doing one of the coolest shows. You really broke the mold in a way, and made your own mold, because your show is a community of people who help one another out. It's one of my favorite things about Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. It feels like right now is the time where we need to help one another out, and that's why I think this is the time, a perfect time for your program and for what you do. And I think you've been helping a lot of people through the various crises, and we're really happy to have you here to talk about a Catholic approach to crisis. Like and you're both people who are well-trained in life coaching and psychology and all those things, in addition to being, having spent two lifetimes, one each, by the way, in ministry in the Catholic Church. So thanks for being with us here to talk about a Catholic approach to crisis. So what is it? What's a Catholic approach to crisis?
Well, before we get into that, I just want to say thank you so much, Si, for the beautiful anniversary message you sent in on behalf of Catholic Answers Live. And it was just such a wonderful message. We just were so touched by it. So thank you for honoring.
Thank you, Debbie. I was really pleased to do it, especially because they paid me to do it. Your producer, Michael, paid me. So you're very welcome, and I appreciate the check.
Well, you know what? Don't tell him, Debbie, that he got paid a lot less than the other people who did those for us.
I know, really? Jerry. I know.
Okay, fine.
But just wanted to go back to that for the 5 year Take Two show. Over 1,300 live shows we have done. 10,000 listener, over 10,000 listener calls. Way more than that in correspondence with the Take Two family, tens of thousands of back and forth communication, keeping the conversation going. And so it has been such an honor to be with the Take Two family. It's growing at a rapid rate, which is phenomenal. And we feel, you know, we're so incredibly humbled by all of the kind responses we get. And so we're journeying together. And so you wanted to ask us to explain how to respond to a crisis from a Catholic perspective and in a Catholic way. Well, you know, if we journey together, we're going to find out with people's experiences that we're facing some kind of crisis, a personal crisis, or a community crisis, or a global crisis like we're dealing with right now, if you just turn on the news. And everybody responds in a different way. We wanted to be there for folks. And thank you for saying that we're trained. We are certified in disaster recovery and restart coaching, which is a specialized form of life coaching. But we wanted to be there with folks to allow them to process it and then to move forward. Right, Jerry? Wouldn't you say that's the best way to possibly describe that?
Well, I like what you said, because, you know, anytime we go through something like what we've been through here recently, it's very, very easy to get stuck, to get mired in where you are and to not keep that forward movement going, that forward momentum. And I would just clarify one thing you said, Si. You said we're life coaches, and you said something about psychology. We're not psychologists per se, but you could say, Debbie, that we have degrees in the School of Life, a psychological institute, if you will. But yeah, I agree with you completely, Debbie, and looking forward to hearing from some people today who might want to just chat a little bit about this, because you know, we're here for this 1 hour. I can't wait for the kids show after that, but we're looking forward to hearing from some people on this hour.
888-318-7884 is our number here, 888-31-TRUTH. If you'd like to talk about maybe what's been going on in your life, get some perspective from Jerry and Debbie about how to move forward. It kind of feels to Jerry and Debbie, to me, a little bit like, even as a society, we're having a little trouble moving forward. It seems like people have gotten... We're angry with each other. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, is that an expected response to a time of crisis like this? And then what do you do to move past anger?
Right, exactly. Well, let me just share this with you, just from a general overview of when people encounter a crisis situation, whether it personally hits them or they're observing it and they think eventually it can affect them. Everybody reacts differently. Some people will avoid it. They'll try to push it away from their thinking, not to let it enter into their daily life. Others will absorb it. They'll take it in and they'll start to respond, or even worse, react. Okay, and that's maybe where you're thinking the anger could be coming from. Because they don't know what to do with those feelings. And I would love for Jerry to explain the concept that I think he has really shared with the Take-Two family, especially, and all of us have adopted it, and it's really worked well in our lives, is this idea of reframing things. And Jerry, could you, before we take some calls, could you share a little bit about that? Because I think it would really be helpful to set the tone for this discussion.
Yeah, well, I think we all need to reframe, and what that means, what I mean by that, is really take a second look at who we are and whose we are. And we have our life coaching we call Stand Tall, and TALL is an acronym, Take Another Look at Life, because we get beat up by the world, we get beat up by family, sometimes emotionally, physically, psychologically, as we're growing up. There is no perfect family other than the Holy Family, of course. And so we take all these wounds and the bad decisions we make as a result of those things, and you bring that all together, sometimes you've got a pretty little messy life there. So I think little by little, piece by piece, if we just look at the areas of our lives and say, how am I doing in this area? Okay, I need a little tweaking here. I'm doing pretty good over here. And this one needs a lot of work. And by reframing, you know, some of the things that lead us to have, you know, that bumpy road in life, we can really become more who God created us to be.
Again, 888-318-7884, our number. Even just for a few moments the other day, making a brief comment on air about that we're going to be all right, that the Lord has not forgotten us. A note from a mom of several kids saying she was grateful just to hear that, because I think she feels isolated with the four kids and this sense of upset. And we need to hear from one another that... okay, you're not alone, and most especially, God has not abandoned us.
That is so true. And, you know, the pandemic, with everybody being kind of locked in their houses, if you will, and kept away from a community sense, that's very problematic, because we are meant for community. We are meant to connect. And now we are trying our hardest to disconnect, to stay away. And that doesn't always do well for the person. But this idea of feeling alone, spot on, Si. We get that all the time on Take-Two, right, Jerry, about folks calling in saying, I feel alone, I don't know what to do. And then they hear somebody else's story, and then they kind of breathe a little and they say, okay, I'm not alone. But Jerry and I did a show today on guardian angels, and it was just hugely well received by everybody, and they really appreciated it, because they didn't understand truly, a lot of people did, but some people didn't really understand how to place guardian angels into their spiritual life. And so we did a little bit of catechesis, and then we did some guardian angel stories, and it was really a beautiful beautiful show. It came together nicely. But the beautiful part of it, it was the idea that people started to understand how God didn't want us to feel that way. He did not want us to journey this crazy thing called life alone. And so we have a soul guard. We have a bodyguard with us at all times, every day of our life. Just look at Psalm 91. It's right there. And God doesn't lie. And so I think that's important to stress that with people during this time of either personal crisis, community crisis, global crisis, everything we're dealing with that just seems to be swirling around us. It's important to know we are never alone. And God sent us a heavenly spiritual creature who's a mighty warrior to be with us. And that's important to remember.
That's why I appreciate too, especially the Catholic perspective on it, that there is the sense of we're not alone. It's not just that we're all in this together, but there are lots of powers and principalities under the auspices of the Lord who are also in this with us. 888-318-7884, the number. Maybe you've got kids struggling through this time, your family's struggling through it. Maybe you have a multi-generational family at home and different people struggling in different ways. You're welcome to call and get in on the conversation. We're talking about a Catholic approach to crisis this hour. 888-318-7884. Jerry and Debbie are here from Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, which you hear daily around the world on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And before I send you off, I know some of you are like, oh man, I got nothing for Dad. Maybe you want a little digital something for Dad. You can get $50 off the beginning apologetics course. If that's his kind of thing that he likes, that'd be a perfect gift for him. Actually, Dad's just like getting gifts. You don't have to worry about if he likes it. If you like it, that's what they just get. Head over to shop.catholic.com right now and get $50 off the beginning apologetics course.
Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
There's all kinds of prayers. There's all kinds of ways of praying. There's all kinds of methods of praying. There's a Salesian method, and Francis de Sales, and Ignatius of Loyola. There's Franciscan methods, and Dominican methods, and you name it, we got it. But sometimes we depend on a method too much. St. Teresa said that prayer was conversation with God. Do you have a hard time conversing with people? No, I don't have a hard time. Well, that's how it is with God.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Jerry and Debbie with us from Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're talking about a Catholic approach to crisis. Do you ever feel, maybe you feel, especially in these recent months, overwhelmed by it. Do you ever feel like you're alone in it, that it threatens to swamp you? There is a Catholic approach to crisis. If you'd like to talk about it, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And Jerry and Debbie, I'll just let you know, are very used to conversation. They're happy to have a conversation with you. They make their show intentionally very conversational. So it's you don't have to just call up and, I got a quick question or something. If you have something you'd like to discuss with them, we will take the time with you to do that. 888-318-7884. You talk about you all did a show today on guardian angels, and that there are spiritual benefits, I guess is the way to say it, to being Catholic. Do you talk with people about how to access those spiritual benefits that can help them?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would just say, yeah, of course, everyone, Catholic or not, has a guardian angel, obviously. The beauty about being informed and educated and trained a little bit and raised in the faith, if you will, is that you understand these things and then you have the knowledge, the wherewithal to tap into such a resource as your guardian angel. Wouldn't you say, Debbie? I mean, it's a great blessing. Everybody has one. It's too bad that we don't all, everybody in the world, just really tap into that wonderful source of support.
Absolutely. It's a relationship we should invest in with our guardian angels. And the other beautiful part about it is when we have a really sincere heart and we want to, get close to God. We want to journey towards God because that is the ultimate goal, right? Our guardian angels are allowed to minister how they were directed by God in our lives for salvation. It's very, very important. And so there's this beautiful relationship happening throughout our whole entire life if we are aware of it, and if we work towards doing the will of God, because when we do that, more and more graces flow. And that can really, if you want to talk back to, about a crisis situation, when we face these storms in our lives, which we all are going to do, let's face it, no life is absolutely perfect. I've never met anybody who had a completely perfect life. And if you have, please call in and I'd love to speak with you because you need to be in the Guinness World Book of Records or something.
Or heaven. Your canonized saint. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, exactly. But you see where I'm going with this. If we take this crisis situation or this raging storm around us, and we start to chip away at it and figure out what can I learn from this? How can I spiritually grow? How can I get closer to God through this? Not run away, not go the other way, and certainly not to go backwards. That's God does not want us to go backwards. He wants us. I mean, this is a journey. What does that mean? We're journeying to something. We're moving. We should be moving. And if we aren't moving closer to Him, we are going backwards, and that's very dangerous to our souls. And I just think that our guardian angels can truly help us. They illuminate our minds. They strengthen our will. And so that's why it's a perfect match. And God knew that. And that's the great God that we serve.
888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. I suppose in addition to feeling alone sometimes through these crises we've been going through, and there's a great deal of anger, I have to say the second wave of crisis, the one having to do with, I mean, that horrible killing of that man in the street in Minneapolis just blew the top off of so many parts of the world, not just here in America, but protests and things all around the world. But some of it now has gotten into a mean-spirited and even kind of wild-eyed phase. Today, I have to admit, I've a feeling of genuine sadness about some of this. Today, the city of Ventura here in California decided they're going to take down their statue of a Catholic saint because this Catholic saint is not good enough anymore. I'm talking about Father Junipero Serra, who is a missionary here in California, who's really the missionary here in California. So I don't know if people all around the country and world know about Father Serra, but Father Serra is a truly, genuinely generous, self-giving, loving person who never did anything that wasn't, at least apparently, that wasn't calculated to bring other people the love of God in Jesus Christ. And now his thing's got to come down because he's a white person who came among Native American people. I don't think there's any legitimate accusation that he ever did anything wrong. It's just that it's the mood and it makes you sad. So let me ask you that. So what's the response to that? I mean, that kind of just sadness that there's this inability to even think through things anymore. We're just in the maniacal phase of this.
Yeah, I can offer a thought if you want, Debbie, and I will agree with you. When the pandemic first hit, I think anger was one of my first reactions interiorly, anyway, because not because I didn't believe that it was a real serious issue, but it changed our lives so very, very much, and our lives are still radically changed, and chances are we're never going to go back to what we knew before. So maybe that's a weakness on my part, you know, that I find myself in my comfort zone or my routine, and that was kind of shattered right there and completely shattered, you know, in my own life.
Right.
But you know, you're talking too about the subsequent events that are going on right now and just the reshaping of culture, of Western civilization, of families, and you know, all of this stuff is having an incredible impact. And how this is all going to finally play out, what it's going to look like, I don't know. But I'm sorry to say, I have to believe we should be believing that, you know, Father Sarah's statue is probably not going to be the last one to be hauled down. Unfortunately, it's really tragic. Really tragic.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. We're talking about a Catholic response to crisis. Really, we have crises now, and one shudders to think the crises that may follow. I mean, when things become kind of, what would you call this time, unsettled and unstable, then I guess we all start thinking, well, what's coming next? Mm-hmm. I suppose that's another thing, too, another aspect of crisis that I don't know. Do you counsel people to be trusting? I mean, I guess because that's the opposite of anxiety. But this is anxiety producing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we coach people in the sense of assisting them to put their trust in God and God alone, and that's very, very important. And so the trust factor for God needs to increase during the time of crisis, not decrease. And I've often said this on our show. You've heard the old saying, practice makes perfect. Well, it's also practice makes permanent. And so we have to practice new habits that are going to move us along on that spiritual journey. And could I just go back just a tad of what you asked, Sai, or you created the scenario of what's happening right now in our world today. There's a lot of great, well-intentioned folks all over the speaking tour and circuit right now sharing their opinions. So I might as well put my opinion in as well. And it's my opinion, okay? I'm not representing the Catholic Church at this point or anything like that. This, I've always felt this way. And Jerry knows my heart because we've worked together for over 10 years. Souls, all souls matter to God, and they should matter to us. And the soul is so precious, is so sacred. It's vital, because otherwise, what are we? We are just shells walking around. If you don't have the soul, what are we?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I struggle terribly, because in my life, I've always looked at other people that I've come in contact with, in my family circle, in my friend circle, and then out into the community. I've always seen it as this beautiful soul that was uniquely created by God. There'll never be another, never. Just like they're matched with an angel, that'll never be, there will never be another angel for that person. The angels are not recycled, okay? So this is how precious souls are to God. And I really feel that all souls are precious. And I think somehow, through the midst of all of the good intentions that are out there trying to get change and reform and this and that, which are great, don't get me wrong, we're losing, I believe, how we approach others as souls first. And especially for us as Catholic Christians, our identity is in Christ. And that's huge for me. That's just my personal opinion. And if anyone disagrees with me, please forgive me. That's how I feel from my heart. That I think sometimes we just throw away people like they don't matter, but they do. It's a soul, right?
Indeed. There's a bunch of people who want to talk to you now, so I think we're going to go to the phones. Let's start with Vicky in Portland, Oregon, listening on the great Modern Day Radio there in Portland, Oregon. Vicky, let me just make sure I got the right line here. Vicky, your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and God bless you all.
Hi, Vicky.
Thank you for being here for us. Yes, I'd like to comment that I truly believe with all my heart that my guardian angel has saved my life and helps me every single day of my life. And I love my guardian angel. I thank God every day. and always say the little guardian angel prayer that's in most prayer books. And Pablo Pio has some extra, and his prayer book has extra prayers for a guardian angel to say. And I love to listen to you, Debbie and Jerry, from Portland, Oregon, on Mata Day Radio. At between, you come on between 9 and 10, but we can't call in and talk to you because I think you're on the air earlier.
Oh, that's dastardly. We're going to have to speak with the people at Modern Day Radio. Just a response. Vicki, thank you so much for the testimony to your guardian angel. Jerry and Debbie, a response to that?
Yeah, this is Debbie's, right in Debbie's wheelhouse. Take it.
Well, thank you, Vicki, so much for the beautiful words. We love you as well. And I just wanted to say, you made the comment, my little guardian angel prayer. That's the angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here. That's the prayer you're talking about. And that's not a little prayer. That's actually a very powerful prayer. And so I encourage everybody, keep saying it twice a day, because then your angel gets to minister even more to you. Thank you, Vicki, so very much.
Thanks, Vicki. Jerry and Debbie from Take Two with Jerry and Debbie are our guests this hour. Jerry Usher, Debbie Giorgiani, and our number 888-318-7884. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We are going to get to your calls. I'll stop talking now. We'll get to your calls.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
What is the Catholic form of marriage and why is it important? What factors may invalidate a marriage? What about the so-called exception clause for divorce in cases of adultery? In 20 Answers, Divorce and Remarriage, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, helping you understand church teaching on the indissolubility of marriage while examining the pastoral and canonical realities for Catholics who wish to join together in marriage. 20 Answers Divorce and Remarriage is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Monday on More to Life, Faith at Home.
We'll help you experience a more meaningful domestic church life.
That's Monday on More to Life. Now, back to Catholic Answers.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Jerry Usher, the founder of everything that happens in Catholic radio, I believe. The founder of everything, but certainly...
Founder of everything that's gone wrong in Catholic radio.
Well, are you saying that Catholic Answers Live has gone wrong?
Oh, Jerry? No. You actually saved it, Si.
That's been my role.
How's that for a good recovery?
Yeah, you... Jerry, of course, the guy who got it all started here, not alone, but among those who got it all started here, the first voice probably that you heard on the great Immaculate Heart Radio, among many other accomplishments that Jerry has had in Catholic radio. And then things were starting to turn a little south on him, so he hired Debbie to pick it all. That's not really how it happened, but...
She's not only my on-air radio partner, she's my agent too. So
yeah, so she's like, I got the perfect person for you.
I'm his personal assistant for real.
Yeah. And the two of you have been working together in radio long before Take Two with Jerry and Debbie became a program. you guys can pretty much finish each other's thoughts at this point.
Yeah, we really can.
All right. Well, let's see if you can answer some questions then from callers. Let's go to Joe in Kansas City, Missouri. Joe in Kansas City, Missouri, your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good, Joe. How are you?
Good. So I just had a question revolving around the crisis. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'm pretty frustrated with the whole thing. I never thought I'd see a day where the Catholic Church shut down, and I feel I don't really know. You know, I can't believe that they took away our right to the Eucharist, and I feel like we're truly called to be martyrs, and there's people in other countries that are willing to die, put their life on the line to receive the Eucharist, but yet here in America, we gave up so easily, and that that right was stripped from us, and I don't really know how to deal with that, how to cope with that through the bishops and the churches. So, I mean, can you give me more clarification on that from your standpoint, please?
Deb, you want to offer a thought? Or?
I can let you go first.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I share it with you, Joe. My diocese just opened up. This weekend will be the second weekend open. And, you know, we've got all these, these rules and regulations, no more than 100 people. Social distancing. Then even during the mass, masks on, no singing. I mean, and about 100 other rules that we have to follow and so forth. Okay. You know, God bless our bishops and our priests. You know, they have to be taking, you know, our health into consideration and the urgency of the crisis and all of that. But I think, you know, what kind of message did this send to the Catholic faithful when we had, you know, so many essential services and yet church was ruled non-essential. Jesus says in the gospel, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Okay, it's not our fault if we're kept away from the Eucharist by circumstances such as this. Jesus can certainly supply for that in terms of grace, but we need the Eucharist. I was feeling a little bit of spiritual atrophy myself, Debbie, over those months that I was not able to receive the Eucharist. Thank God I was doing my prayer daily and so forth, and then the radio show and staying in touch with people who have strong faith. But, you know, there are a lot of people I'm concerned about right now who aren't yet back at the table of the Lord and may not return, quite frankly.
What do you think, Joe, before I comment?
I agree with what you're saying. And our church has opened up back too. And it's weird. You know, we have to sign up for a spot. If you don't get a spot in the church, you have to go to the parking lot, which, I mean, it's better than nothing, right? Like, and it's just kind of weird receiving communion outside, and you know, you aren't allowed to receive on the tongue, which I guess, but I don't feel like I should be denied that right. I just have really been struggling with it, you know. I just wish we would have fought a little harder, I guess, is my point. And I'm not saying the coronavirus is a serious virus, I get that, but I know me personally, I would have rather gone to Mass every Sunday and taken my chances, just from my standpoint.
Right. Well, real quickly, I just wanted to say, you're not alone. The frustration you are feeling, we share that with you, and we truly understand how you're feeling, because it doesn't make any sense. You know, we're seeing gigantic gatherings happening all over the world, but yet 10 people can only go to Mass in certain places, and now it's maybe lifted to 50, maybe 100, and then they're saying there's now a new spike happening. So now are they going to rethink how we gather for Sunday Mass, and this is going across the board with other faiths as well. They're struggling as well. I personally think that this is exactly why this is a great conversation we're having, Joe, is because when a crisis hits, and the pandemic, let's face it, COVID-19 hit us very quickly. We were all going strong in 2020. Everybody was saying this is the year of clear vision, and then it just all went south very, very quickly, right? And I think, unfortunately, our church maybe didn't process out 10 steps down the road. You know, they wanted to protect the faithful. They wanted to make sure we were okay, that we weren't going to endanger our lives or anything like that. So they went along and made sure that we were all safe. But how is this going to, I agree with Jerry, how is this going to affect us down the road? Yeah. Is this really helping the faithful? Is this really building confidence in the church? Is this really bringing us together as Catholic Christians? I have a lot of people that said, yeah, Deb, it's really working. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it. I've actually seen the opposite. I have two friends right now who were devout Catholics who no longer want to go to church because they feel like, okay, I can do this at home. This is no joke. So that I don't see it. So I'm sorry, I don't see what other people are seeing, but I think this was really a real attack to the soul, and that's not good. And that's not good for, especially for us as Catholic Christians, Joe. So can you hear my frustration now?
But if I may add the just slightly, other balancing comment, but it may be, you can all jump on me if you want to. But just so that Joe knows, throughout the history of the church, churches have shut down during plagues. This is not something that was new and was invented this time. The church traditionally closes the churches when there's a plague. There have even been saints who have cried out to their bishops saying, don't do this. And the bishops have said, no, that have, you know, contradicted saints, and the saints have obeyed. And it's also been the policy of the church in many plagues to keep at least half of the priests safe so that half of the priests did not expose themselves to plague. So the church has protected itself and protected its members. I think possibly what happened here is we ended up with a plague that wasn't quite as dangerous to most of the population as they feared. And now we're kind of very slow in processing that information. I'm not certain of that, but that seems like a possibility. But I wouldn't want for you to leave thinking, the church has always been brave and just muddled, kept going, because that's not the case. And during the Black Plague, the churches were closed. When the plague would come to town, everything closed. Taverns, churches, everything. So go ahead. Y'all can jump on me now.
No, I agree with you. No, I agree with you, Cy, and you're spot. You're correct. You're absolutely correct. The only thing I would just say to that is, you know, we live in a day and time where we can get very creative. Okay, very creative on how we still can be and gather for Mass. And I think some of the places really showed that creativity. Others just completely shut down. And I don't think that was wise to do with the faithful. That's all I was going to say. But I agree with you. That is correct from a historical perspective. What are we going back to Joe to hear is fine. I don't want to leave him if he doesn't feel okay with
us. You want to wrap it up with us, Joe, before we send you off?
Yeah, I appreciate you guys taking the time to answer my question, and that does help. Yeah, I enjoy talking to someone about it, right? So,
well, if you wanted to talk about it, there's thousands of other people that wanted to as well, Joe. So thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about it. That's why we have Jerry and Debbie here. That's why we invited them here on this Friday afternoon. Jerry and Take Two with Jerry and Debbie is their program each day on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network that you can get on your local Catholic radio station, on Sirius satellite radio, on shortwave radio, and on internet sites around the world. I mean, if you're not getting it, it's probably because you don't have fillings, because it's available to it'll even play on the fillings in your head. 888-318-7884, the number. I do have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. I know we got more callers. We're going to get to as many as we can before we have to go. All right, back with Jerry and Debbie right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN teaching the truth.
I love listening to Catholic radio. It's perfect. It provides peace and it builds us up and strengthens us. We listen to it whenever we're in the car. My husband and I love it. He got me started with it before he even became a Catholic. He owns his own business, and so he's working by himself, and he listens to Catholic radio. He's called in several times too. It's using the technology that we have for good.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Take two with Jerry and Debbie on each day on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We've got the hosts, Jerry Usher and Debbie Giorgiani, here with us. And we're talking about crisis. We're talking about a Catholic response to crisis. And of course, you know, the lines are full now. Yeah, nice job. Now it's almost the end of the show. Let's go to William in New Mexico on listening on EWTN Radio. William, your question for Jerry and Debbie.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Happy
God
to.
God bless you. My question is, if they can take down a Catholic saint, and it might be just one domino effect starting right now, end result would be that they'd want to take away the Bible from the church. How should we respond, and how can we respond? I'd like to have your opinion. Thank you.
Okay. Debbie, you want to swing at this one first?
Well, you have a very good point, William, and I think that's why some of the frustration you hear in my voice when I was talking with Joe kind of wells up in this idea of thinking 10 steps down the road. I mean, we need to start viewing it that way. You know, mothers, I have to say this, and mothers out there, if you're listening, you get this. Okay. Mothers always think 10 steps down the road. Okay. My child's going out to play, but if my child crosses the street, oh, what's going to happen if they cross the street? They might get hurt by a car. You just think like that as a mother. We need to be thinking that like that as a Christian body, as the faithful. Okay. Because you're right. What is going to stop? Because you can always find something wrong in everything. We don't live. This isn't heaven. This is our training ground, and this is our preparation time for heaven. This is not heaven. And so what's going to happen? You're absolutely correct, William. Who's going to make the first step to say, well, I don't like that. There's something in there in the Bible yeah. that's offensive, and I want it taken out now. Okay, so what do? I think we pray, we fast, and we really ask our go-to saints and also our guardian angels. We enlist an army around us to make sure we spiritually protect everyone that is a believer. We have to, because we're in a spiritual war.
Yes, absolutely. I think you made a really good point. Maybe it would be a suggestion, my opinion only, is that every cathedral, every Catholic church, every church, because this is going to affect everybody, every church should have a vigil. Every, you know, as long as there's no curfew, 24-hour vigil, fasting, praying. If they're going to protest against saintly, godly men that brought the gospel to America, and they're going to try to take away our freedom of having the Word of God, and to be able to congregate and take communion, Holy Eucharist. I mean, there's no boundaries for what they can do, and I think the church needs to come together, the church militant, not in a military way, but in a protesting way through our vigil, our prayers, candles, prayers, vigils at every church, every single church in America.
We used to be better at that as Catholics, and I know one bishop I noticed, and I'm sure others did as well, at the height of the COVID, bringing the Eucharist out into the street. I mean, and blessing people with the Eucharist in the monstrance. We used to believe more in the efficacy of doing these things as Catholics, and maybe we'll start believing a little more again.
Yeah. Well, I'm so happy that you mentioned prayer and fasting, Debbie. The Lord has really put fasting on my heart a lot recently in the last few months, more than ever before. I've never been really that, you know, big of a faster, if you can put it that way. But it really is on my heart now. And William, I'm glad you said what you did as well about, you know, having the the vigilance, the prayer vigils. Let's face it. This world is God's world. Jesus mm-hmm. Christ is the king, not only of the church, he is the king of the entire world. And we need to be bringing him into this more and more as much as we can. And I would just say for anyone, if you're listening right now, if you had a strong faith before the pandemic and all the other stuff that's going on, or maybe your strength has been, your faith has been strengthened, maybe it's been weakened. In any case, let's get on our knees. If you're not praying every day, and I'm not talking about bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts three times a day. That's great prayer before meals, but we got to be praying and really invoking the Holy Spirit right now because mm-hmm. we're in times that call for that.
Amen.
Thanks,
Amen.
Thanks, William. I do the bless us, O Lord, six times a day because I include snacks in there.
I just do it once and that covers the whole day.
Okay. Si, I know we got full phone lines, but can I say one other thing?
No, we have full phone. Okay, all right,
okay.
Debbie, go ahead.
Real quickly, if William hasn't dropped off, please, you got me rolling now. Remember, I'm my background is 30 years in religious education in the Diocese of Phoenix. So please forgive me on this, but this is how I feel. You know, there was a tiny little blurb in the news about that there was a tabernacle stolen in North Carolina, okay, with the consecrated hosts inside. Okay, the tabernacle was stolen. And you hear this tiny little blurb and it's like, okay, let's move on to the next thing. Why aren't we outraged at that?
That's horrible.
First of all, why wasn't the tabernacle bolted down? I understand they have to be bolted down. Why wasn't it? Why aren't Catholics doing something to say, this is not right? We must protect our churches. If we don't have the Eucharist, our source and summit of our faith, we have virtually nothing. Let's think about it. Really think about it, right?
Yes, I do think that, a lack of reverence for the Eucharist is a lack of Catholic faith. There's just no other way around it. I'm going to let you go, William, because I want to get to John in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. John, your question.
Oh, I almost said in here that the statue of Father of Peace Syria was taken down. But also, in Denver, Colorado, this year, they did away with Columbus Day. There's no longer Columbus Day in Colorado. You know, and the new virus is the Catholic Church, and they want to get rid of it. There's all this anti-Catholicism.
That's an interesting way of putting that. Yeah. Okay. Well, if I can make just a shameless plug real quick, and then I'll let Jerry and Debbie answer. We got one of the world's top scholars on Christopher Columbus, and we got her to come in, not to come in, but to join with us and do an interview. Her name is Carol Delaney. She wrote the book on Columbus. She's not a Catholic. She's not a Christian. She's a scholar, and she's the world's number one scholar on Christopher Columbus. And wait till you hear what she had to say. We're going to put it on our Focus next week. It'll broadcast next week as a Focus episode. Don't take a Christopher Columbus statue down until you know who Christopher Columbus is. That's all I'm saying. And if you want to really know who Christopher Columbus is, not what he represents to some people, not what he has come to symbolize, but who the man was, just listen to this secular Stanford scholar. She'll let you know who Christopher Columbus was. And if you want to do the same thing on on Junipero Serra, the materials are out there. I don't want, you know, to a certain degree, truth matters. And I really not like to hear what you say he represents or what you say he triggers people into feeling. Who was the man? That's what matters. And these men are not what these people are saying. Now, Jerry and Debbie, go ahead.
Yeah, if I can just offer one quick thought here. We talk about this often on our show as we talk about, you know, reframing our lives and trying to move forward and get all the areas of our lives, you know, in a proper balance and so forth. You know, we talk about there is a lack of critical thinking in the world today. And I think a lot of it is because of the education young people have received, you know, a generation or two or three of an education that has tried to, you know, whitewash the elements of faith from their lives. We've had bad catechesis. Bad religious education in many circles. So when you have all of this, people hear, oh, Christopher Columbus, bad, let's take down his statue. Junipero Serra, bad, let's take down his statue. And people are going, oh, well, they must be telling the truth because it's on TV. Well, we've got so much horrible propaganda on TV that if people are basing their lives and their beliefs on what they're seeing on, you know, most network newscasts, they're not in a good place, I don't think.
Very true.
I'm going to keep going to calls. John, I'm going to let you go just because there really are a lot of people who want to talk to Jerry and Debbie, radio superstars. Vicky in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are next with Jerry and Debbie. Your question or comment, please.
My quick comment is that it's not all bad. I actually had a good experience In the beginning, we were panicking, and we resorted to praying more when the children were, Mom, what do we do now? What's happening? I said, well, you just keep living your life the way we are and pray more. We need to be attached to the vine. We were very blessed to participate in a couple of workshops in the beginning and at the end of May on a Zoom video. And it's healing the family tree. So then we started praying more, and we just saw a lot of miracles, and our family healed from some things, and we got closer together. The dynamics are at home are much better. There's peace. It's not perfect, but we would not have had these gifts without the pandemic. So it sometimes takes going on our knees before the Lord because we are panicking, and it takes a pandemic to search the heart and to get closer to the Lord. And my last comment is that the good, the holy people are being enamored by the Holy Spirit at a deeper level, and the evil people are showing themselves for who they are. So I think we're being separated, the good and the bad. So to me, that's good that things are coming up. It's frustrating to see the condition of our world, but we need to be on our knees. And that's my comment.
Vicki, what station is your radio program on?
Guadalupe Radio.
Oh, I was just saying, me and Jerry and Debbie have our radio programs. I think you got to have one. You're more on top of this than we are. Go ahead, Jerry and Debbie.
I just wanted to say, Vicki, thank you so much for sharing that, because you really summed it up so beautifully on how we should handle crisis situations that come into our life or into our view. And that is to dive deeper into our relationship with God, to go deeper, not to go the other way. You know, hiking is great. People commune with God out in nature. That's great. Okay. But how about getting into a real devotional aspect of the habits that you adopt have a devotional aspect to them, meaning prayer, fasting, getting together with people and diving into scripture and reading it out loud, because there's healing effects from that. And so you nailed it. You nailed it, Vicki, perfectly. And I wish that if everybody listening to the show would walk away with that, instead of getting into what Jerry was saying, is these little sound bites that are coming at us and they're starting to mess with our brains, let's get deeper into what God's promises are for us, all of us who are open to that. And that is a beautiful, beautiful concept. And it's a great, it's a great spiritual maturity that happens when you start to adopt that idea of going forward and deepening your relationship with God. Way to go, Vicki. You nailed it.
God bless you, sister. Thank you for that call. I'm going to try to get, we got one more caller I want to make sure I get to before we go. So I'm kind of going quick here. Maritza in McAllen, Texas, listening on Catholic.com. You are next. Maritza, your comment or question.
Hi. I thank you for taking my call. And I love both of your shows. I listen to them every day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My question is, and I'm Catholic, and in terms of the crisis, I noticed that in a lot of the discussions, the discussion tends to move away from the real issue. The real issue, especially now, not just even with the COVID-19, but with the recent death of George Floyd, I feel like it's not where we're not focusing enough on that. And as Catholics, we know that life is dignified, and that you know that's the crux of our faith, is that the dignity of the human being. And earlier Debbie said the dignity of the human soul, which I agree. But I just feel like we're not focusing on that.
On Mr. Floyd himself, and on that great injustice that happened.
Yeah, and the fact that. To say that, well, yeah, all lives matter really disrespects the actual issue. And I don't tend to hear a lot about the dignity of human life of those who are living.
Okay. That's a fair point. I have to say I disagree with you. I don't think it disrespects anyone to say all lives matter. But what about this idea that we do have to... like it's a fair point that there needs to be more respect for the living. What do y'all think?
Yeah. No, if we will take the lives of the most innocent and vulnerable among us, and that would be the unborn, then whose life is whose life would we spare ultimately? We do need a much greater respect for the dignity of human life, and we have lost that to a large extent with abortion, euthanasia, and all the spectrum in between.
I don't know anybody myself who looked at that video of what happened to George Floyd and didn't see. That's what we're talking about. Stop treating human beings
like that. It's horrible.
It's horrific. And I appreciate the caller drawing our attention back to that before we have to go. Jerry and Debbie, a website, anything where people can find you?
Yes, we have a team of coaches that are just waiting to assist you and getting you through a crisis situation. StandTallToday.com. StandTallToday.com. Get your free consultation. Right, Jerry?
That is right. Thanks for having us on, Si. Thank the whole show team and all of you at Catholic Answers.
God bless you both. Thank you so much for being here with us. Coming up next, it's All Kids, All Hour. If you're young and you got a right to dial the phone or permission to dial the phone, go ahead and start dialing.